Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
We're on WNYC, and this week's online video picks are up on our website. Each week we select five web videos, and I anchor them in a picks video on our site. Our picks video, one of our picks this week, very relevant to what's going on Wall Street this morning, a Bank of America employee on why she waived fees for her struggling customers without the bank's permission. And yes, she did get fired for that. She tells her story. See all five of our weekly video picks at WNYC.org/video. Now, you may have read the news online for free yesterday. Starting early next year, the New York Times is going to start charging again for access to its website. You can still read a certain number of articles online each month in this version of charging for the content, but once you hit a limit, number to be determined, you'll have to pay a fee for continued access. So how to make online content profitable for struggling newspapers? Well, that's the big media question of the day. And many papers had been waiting to see what the Times would do. This move may set a standard for the rest of the industry, or it may provide an opening for other papers to grab some of the Times' massive online readership. Remember, they tried something like this a few years ago with Times Select, where mostly they were charging only for the top-line columnists at that time and some other content. With us to discuss this is Gabriel Sherman, who's been tracking the story for New York Magazine. Hey, Gabriel, welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
And listeners, what do you think? Would you pay for the New York Times online? And what's a good system? How many articles do you want for free? How much would you pay beyond that for unlimited access? Have you abandoned paper newspapers and are ready for this? Is the notion of the free internet becoming obsolete as media business models crumble? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. So, Gabriel, the so-called metered model that the Times is adopting, you want to explain it anymore?
Sure, Brian. The metered model basically allows readers to come to the website of the New York Times and read a certain number of articles for free, and after a prescribed amount, they will be asked to pay. And sort of the benefit of the metered model is it puts all the control in the hands of the reader. They can decide how valuable the New York Times content is. And for the really loyal diehard readers, I'm sure they're going to pony up and pay to subscribe to the online edition. For the kind of casual readers who come to the New York Times through sites like Google and search engines, they'll come, sample a few articles, and maybe go on their way. And the New York Times will keep those casual readers while beginning to monetize the loyal readers who really value what the Times produces.
The Wall Street Journal currently charges
online. The Wall Street Journal is a very different model. They have what's called a traditional paywall, where to read the Wall Street Journal, you come to the website and they offer a few articles for free, but you have to pay to subscribe to the edition to read complete articles. The Journal does allow you to read articles through Google, but that's just it's more of an inconvenient way to read the Journal. So the Times is hoping that they will still capture a big audience through the website while monetizing some folks through the meter.
And do I understand correctly that if you stumble upon a Times article through Google News mm-hmm. or one of the other search engines, mm-hmm. you'll still be able to access it for free no matter your other usage?
Exactly. So the New York Times has about 17 million unique readers on the web, and they're still going to have this huge audience that they can sell advertising to. But what they can do is the really loyal, you know, and we don't know what that audience is. It could be 1 million, it could be 2 million readers who come to the Times every day. They could say to them, if you want to read us every day, pay money, and so they'll have two streams of revenue online, which until now they haven't.
I can't believe what I'm seeing on the board. And I have to say, Gabriel, it's so different than what I think we would have gotten 3 or 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. Steve in the Bronx, people should pay. It's not fair for people who pay for the paper copy. Declan in Montclair subscribes on Kindle. It's great. It's the only way mm-hmm. for newspapers to become viable again. Pat in Old Tapan, recently New York Times subscriber from paper to paid online and thinks it's great. Mm-hmm. Did it for environmental reasons. We'll let Debbie in Dix Hill speak for herself. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, good morning. I think it's very important to have newspapers, to have professional writers, to have people with a certain skill set and expertise. And if you're not paying for it, you don't get that. I don't only want to read bloggers. The Times recently did a whole series on E. coli, and it was very informative and very important, and you need people with expertise to do that.
Debbie,
if I have to pay, I'll pay.
Thank you. Adam and Roslyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Adam.
Hi, how you doing? I subscribe to three newspapers, the New York Times, Long Island's Newsday, and the local Roslyn paper. I think without the newspapers, we are all going to be in a whole lot of trouble, without the investigative journalists protecting us, vis-a-vis Edward R. Murrow and, Nixon and all those things. So these people protecting us, we need them.
If we had the same conversation 5 years ago, before the financial crisis in newspapers, would you have called and said, come on, the web's supposed to be free?
No, not at all. See, here's the thing. When I watch television, I don't get commercials. I'm happy to pay for that. My time has value to me. What I want the New York Times to do is, if they're going to charge me, I'm happy to pay for it, lose the advertisements. I think that's fair.
Adam, thank you very much. They're not going to lose the advertisements.
No, they will not. And it's not going to be like the HBO model where you pay to subscribe and then you just get the text.
In fact, from Arthur Sulzberger's internal memo, which published, we are doing this because we believe that a second revenue stream will be an important part of our future. While digital advertising will continue to be the major contributor to our success on the web, we expect that online subscription revenue will improve our ability to grow an important part of this business.
Exactly, and that's the theory behind the metered model, is that you can get the best of both worlds. You can monetize the loyal readers who come to you every day, and then you can still sell advertising to the vast audience who just wants to sample what you do.
Is the metered model, is meter a bit of a misleading word here? Some critics are saying this should actually be more like a taxicab meter, where you pay in increments as your usage increases. Instead, with this model, you pay a big fee once you hit a certain number. So if the limit is 10, then you pay a bunch for the 11th article. Why not adopt a more incremental model?
Well, that's a great point. I don't think we quite know exactly how the New York Times is going to roll out this system. They've said they're going to do this over the next year. They're going to build the technology and all the systems they need to put this in place. And they haven't decided on two critical questions: how many free articles you'll get, and what pricing structure they're going to put into place. And, Brian, I think these are the relevant questions over the next several months that we're going to see them work out.
John in Flushing has a concern. Hi, John.
Hi, Brian. My concern is, I live in Afghanistan most of the time, and I like to read the New York Times always, and there is no way of paying there online for these services, because obviously people don't have Visa or MasterCard to pay for these services, so they've been deprived of this thing if that actually goes through.
That is a wonderful point. Earlier last week I spoke to New York Times columnist Tom Friedman, who impressed upon me the point that a lot of his audiences in international countries like Afghanistan, China, India, and these emerging markets don't have the pay structures in place to do credit card processing. So it'll be fascinating to see how the New York Times, which is really evolving into a global newspaper of record, how they will be able to keep this vast audience outside of the United States through a metered system.
And Neil in Astoria not only pays for the paper version, but Neil?
Yeah, I'm one of these few rare people that actually does read the paper version every morning. And it's not exactly I resent that everybody else gets it for free, but I think if I'm reading it online as well, which I do, then I want something a little bit extra as a paper subscriber.
Well, Anil, they tried that with Times Select, where they offered the New York Times columnist for free if you were a print subscriber. And with the metered system, you're still going to get more because you're not going to have to pay any more to read it online. The meter won't apply to you as a print subscriber.
So just to be very clear about that point for Neil and everyone, mm-hmm. if you are a New York Times paper edition subscriber,
exactly.
you will still have unlimited free access.
And that's
on the website.
And that's going to be one of the tricks of the technology they're going to have to implement, is to recognize that Neil and the other print subscribers are already in their database and that the meter won't start running with those readers.
Will the New York Times announcement spur other major print news sources to adopt their own online billing systems by January 1st of next year, which is the projected rollout date? Or will they see this as an opportunity to gain readership by keeping their digital versions free?
I think it's too early to tell. I think that's a really smart point, that there are people out there in the marketplace who think that they can undercut the Times on price sources like Politico, sources like the Huffington Post, which is attempting to do more original reporting, or I should say some original reporting. And maybe they feel that they could offer enough content to readers that who won't pay for the time. So I don't think we can tell. And on the second point on whether others will follow suit, I think that some people in the market are going to look to how the Times experiment works before making that leap.
Cell phones. I get Times Online mobile version free with my basic Verizon package.
The meter will, I imagine the meter will very much apply to cell phone and mobile readership because the mobile market is the sort of future of news consumption. And I don't know if we have time to get into this, but the New York Times' relationship to Apple and the rumored tablet device that they are expected to release next week is a fascinating story because the New York Times does not want to give control to Apple to sell subscriptions to its readers because then Apple effectively becomes a middleman. And the New York Times wants to retain control over being able to sell its news to its readers.
Well, our calls indicate that people who would a few years ago have said, what? How can they charge us to use something on a website?
Exactly.
Are now saying, yeah, Times, find a way to survive and keep that journalism coming.
I think there's two things. I think
we have 10 seconds.
10 seconds. I think people have showed they're willing to pay and they want quality content.
Gabriel Sherman, tracking the story of the New York Times, planning to charge online, tracking it for New York Magazine. Gabriel, thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Talk to you tomorrow.